Going to continue this morning. Canto 3, Chapter 5, Texts 28 and 29. And I thought, because you're honoring Nrsingadev's appearance tomorrow, read one verse from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And it can fit in nicely with this. Maitreya is speaking to Vidura in response to the series of questions he asked at the beginning of the chapter, specific to, to say, Sambandha Gyan, the relationship of the energies of the Lord with the Lord and how they're moving. It's describing the process of creation. The glance of the Lord has been described. Impregnating the material nature of three modes, and thus by the influence of eternal time, the living entities appear. Living entities, not meaning the souls, but the bodies, the forms within creation. Thereafter, influenced by the interactions of eternal time, the supreme sum total of matter, called the Mahatattva, became manifested. And in this Mahatattva, the unalloyed goodness, the Supreme Lord, sowed the seeds of the universal manifestation out of his own body. We discussed this yesterday. This is provided in detail, but it's a summary presentation. So the verses this morning, 28, 29, the mode of the Mahatattva starts to differentiate. First it's Pradhan and the glance, and time living entities are introduced, injected. Then, is it thereafter, Tataha, influenced by the interactions of eternal time, Mahatattva manifests, and then from Mahatattva comes our dear friend false ego, the first element that separates out. Text 28, thereafter, the Mahatattva differentiated itself into many different forms as the reservoir of the would-be entities, like a big warehouse. The Mahatattva is chiefly in the mode of ignorance, and it generates false ego. It is the plenary expansion of the personality of Godhead with full consciousness of creative principles and time for fructification. Now this part, is similar to, it's difficult, it's similar to the previous discussion where Prabhupada is describing Mahatattva as conscious. And it's because of its contact, if you remember, because of its contact with the Supreme Being. Reading again from the purport of 27, the Mahatattva is the total consciousness because a portion of it is represented in everyone as intellect. And then the Mahatattva is directly connected with the supreme consciousness of the supreme being, but still it appears as matter. So it's a little subtle, to say the least. So that message continues with 28, where in the translation it's chiefly in the mode of ignorance, and it generates the false ego, and it is a plenary expansion of the personality guided with full consciousness of creative principles and time for fructification. I'll read the purport and don't have a whole lot to say about it. But I want to read Vishwanath Chakravarti, what he has to say about it. Purport. The Mahatattva, so here's some definitions. The Mahatattva is the via media between pure spirit and material existence. Another. It is the junction of matter and spirit wherefrom the false ego of the living entity is generated. Next. All living entities are differentiated parts and parcels of the personality Godhead. Under the pressure of false ego, the conditioned souls, although parts and parcels of the supreme personality of Godhead, claim to be the enjoyers of material nature, this false ego is the binding force of material existence. The Lord again and again gives a chance to the bewildered conditioned souls to get free from this false ego, and that is why the material creation takes place at intervals. We discussed that yesterday. Bhutva, bhutva, pradiyate. He gives the conditioned souls all facilities for rectifying the activities of the false ego. It does not interfere with their small independence as parts and parcels of the Lord. Let me read the language here of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is Bhanu Swami's translation of his commentary. Okay. Here's the verse translated. Mahatattva, the shelter of the universe which was being created, whose form arises by Jiva Shakti Gunas and Prakriti and Time, Jiva Shakti Gunas of Prakriti and Time, combination, then Mahatattva arises, is glanced upon by the Lord, transformed itself into another form by the Lord's desire to create ahankar, false ego. And his commentary. When the tamas portion of the Mahatattva becomes prominent, the way Prabhupada has stated it is, Mahatattva is predominantly in the mode of ignorance. This description is modes of nature competing. When the ignorance becomes prominent, ahankara arises. This Mahatattva, whose form arises by Jiva Shakti, portions of Prakriti in their form of the gunas and time, the impeller of creation, time, the impeller of creation. So time, from Bhagavad Gita, time I am. Time, the impeller of creation, but you know, the impeller of time is is also an energy, Kala Shakti. And in this case, when you read in the Kapila Dev section, time is not just an energy of Krishna, but is Krishna, or it is the Supreme Lord. Time and the Supreme Lord are not different. At the same time, it's an energy. So it one and different, and the emphasis is time is a form of the Lord. So anyway, time is the impeller of creation. Glanced upon by the Lord, transformed itself into another form by the desire of the Lord to create ahankar. Mahatattva is the shelter of the universe being created. Mahatattva is the shelter of the universe being created. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, to get a little more technical, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says that there are different features of Maya, and I can remember the Upadan Maya and Nimitta Maya, two features of Maya. That's same as Mahatattva is Maya, is the energy of the Lord. So one Upadan Maya is it's compared to, both of them are compared to a womb where the chamber or the space in which the living entity grows is one aspect, and supplying ingredients is another aspect. Upadan Maya, Nimitta Maya. Here the emphasis is, or at least it's being stated, Mahatattva is the shelter of the universe being created. So that's the Upadan Maya portion. But there's also, it's the shelter, but it's also supplying ingredients. And the, as is in the womb of a mother, so similarly, or the other way around, this Mahatattva is both Upadan Maya and Nimitta Maya, and the impregnation is the glance of the Lord. And lo and behold, out comes little baby, false ego. And so many other differentiations. And those are, it's being described, they're the, not only the ingredients, how does it say it in Bhagavatam here? Not only the ingredients for creation, but, the living entities, meaning the forms of the living entities. This is the first sentence of Prabhupada's translation, text 28. Thereafter, the Mahatattva differentiated itself into many different forms as the reservoir of the would-be entities. Ingredients. Text 29. Mahatattva, or the great causal truth, transforms into false ego, which is manifested in three phases, cause, effect, and the doer. And the Sanskrit is karya, karana, kartatma. Sounds familiar? Bhagavad Gita 13:21. Kaya karana kartrajve bhoktir prapatir uchite purushak sukha dukha nam. So, karya karana kartrajve kartrit without the atma or kartrajve, cause, effect, and doer. Just go quickly to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He is equating these with Adi Bhuta, Adi Atma, and Adi Daiva, through conceptions that are expressed elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, that are cause, effect, and the doer. And we're going to find in the purport, Prabhupada's purport, I believe, no, it's in the next one. The demigods, the devatas, are in the doer category. It's real a lot easier when you go fast motion than slow motion. Because when you go slow motion and break it down, it's what? This connected with that. The demigods haven't appeared yet, but the principle by which the demigods do what they do is being supplied. That's what this that's the sarga. The Lord creates, and this is what is being described. He's creating, he's making the arrangements for creation. And so principles are provided, the principle of doership. And that's Adidaiva, the principle of effect, Adibhuta, the principle of cause, Adiatma. So that you can have creation. So Brahma can put it all together. And when you have living entities, they have these afflictions, these kleshas. Well, it looks like, hey, now we have a place where we can enjoy it independently. You get kleshas, where you thought you'd get happiness. You get dukkha instead of sukha. And then, make it a little more, how does this fit in with that kind of a question? Here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's translation. From transformation of Mahatattva arose Ahankar, which is the shelter of Adibhuta, Adiatma, and Adidaiva, which transforms into gross elements, senses, mind, and senses devatas. It is divided into sattva, rajas, and tamas. Kapila does it in slow motion. This is quick. Commentary. Because of transformation of Mahatattva, Ahankar rose. Its qualities are described. It is the shelter of effect, Adibhuta, cause, Adiatma, and doer, Adidaiva. Since it transforms into gross elements, senses, and mind. Mind also includes the sense devatas. I don't know what that is. Sense devatas. Controllers of the senses, I guess. The divisions of Ahankar are explained. Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas. Though there's different flavors of Ahankar. Prabhupada's purport. Can't wait to get to Prahlad Maharaj. Purport. A pure living entity, in his original spiritual existence, is fully conscious of his constitutional position as an eternal servitor of the Lord. All souls who are situated in such pure consciousness are liberated, and therefore they eternally live in bliss and knowledge in the various Vaikuntha planets in the spiritual sky. when the material creation is manifested, it is not meant for them. The eternally liberated souls are called Nityamuktas, and they have nothing to do with the material creation. The material creation is meant for rebellious souls who are not prepared to accept subordination under the Supreme Lord. This spirit of false lordship is called false ego. It is manifested in three modes of material nature, and it exists in mental speculation only. And he develops that idea. Those who are in the mode of goodness think that each and every person is God, and thus they laugh at the pure devotees who try to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Those who are puffed up with the mode of passion try to lord it over material nature in various ways. Some of them engage in altruistic activities as if they were agents appointed to do good to others by their mental speculative plans. Such men accept the standard ways of mundane altruism, but their plans are made on the basis of false ego. This false ego extends to the limit of becoming one with the Lord. The last class of egoistic conditioned souls, those in the mode of ignorance, are misguided by identification with the gross body, with the self. Thus, all their activities are centered around the body only. All these persons are given the chance to play with false egoistic ideas, but at the same time, the Lord is kind enough to give them a chance to take help from scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam so that they may understand the science of Krishna and thus make their lives successful. The entire material creation, therefore, is meant for the falsely egoistic living entities hovering on the mental plane under different illusions in the modes of material nature. Wow, what a sentence. It makes it very clear, going in reverse, the false ego has to be dissolved. In Kapila Dev's teachings to Devahuti, he says that only by the process of bhakti is the mind dissolved, the material mind. Because thinking, feeling, willing, they're there in the spiritual realm. But the material mind thinks and feels and wills all kinds of other things. And the driver is false ego and time. Because over time, the contact of the conditioned soul with different experiences helps shape different configurations of the mind, which then in turn helps shape different configurations of the gross forms of prakriti. So dissolving a false ego is to establish proper ego. And it's the strength is insufficient to simply take shelter of the conception that I'm spirit soul. That's aham brahmasmi. I am Brahman. That's nice. Now, what does a nice Brahman entity do? Not this, not this, not this. You twinkle like a star in the sky. What do liberated souls do? So it's the complete form is devotional service. They take shelter of the supreme Brahman, the personality of Godhead, and engage in their spiritual mind, their spiritual senses, their spiritual intelligence, and from that, whatever configurations of matter we find ourselves in at present, and perfected souls don't need gross material bodies to do service. On the spiritual platform, they engage in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In between, there's all this practice, sadhana. And then, when, now comes the good part, when the false ego is dissolved, one may still have, in this interim phase, a physical body, but one doesn't identify with the physical body, that's the mode of ignorance. Going back, one doesn't have expectations of trying to be an enjoyer of matter, as in the mode of passion. And the altruism, philanthropism idea that kind of is passion and goodness, or the rarefied goodness idea that I'm God, you're God. All those modes of nature produced from the modes of nature influencing the mind conceptions of life are dissolved by pure devotional service. So I want to read one verse where Prahlad Maharaj is speaking. Canto 7, Chapter 9, text 28. You'll recognize it as soon as I begin. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking in a very humble way about his position. Son of the big dean, Hiranyakashipu, captured in a material body with bad association and abominable material desires, and then by good fortune Narada Muni gave his association even while within the womb of Kayadu, and by his mercy his false ego is dissolved. So he writes or speaks, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service?" A nice, wonderful purport, but he's anticipating Hiranyakashipu is going to offer him benediction, a boon, what would you like? And he's, even before it's being offered, he's protesting, please. There's many ways that he speaks on this point. Our relationship is only one thing, service. Then he spells it out, you're the master, and I'm the servant, and there's nothing else. So, please don't offer me something other than service. Not a merchant. I do, you do, me. That's not a relationship. It's doing one thing. You're the master. I'm the servant. And that position, he's saying in this verse, text 28. Is due to Narada's association. He kindly accepted me. He instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. This is the distinction between these false egoistic ideas of embodied beings. Prahlad also has a body, but he's not identifying with it. He's not thinking it's an instrument to obtain something he wants. And he has compassion, even the way Prabhupada is speaking of here, the altruistic persons, they do things that are of standard form, but it's driven by false ego. In the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. One bum helping another bum, here's a bottle. You're my buddy. You take some. You know, the friendship or, you know, the caring for another person, but it may be there, but not understanding what's of the real interest of the other person. What do you expect the consequence to be, the behavior or the consequence of the behavior? It's a maze that there seems to be no escape once you're in. There is. And that is surrendering to the personality of Godhead and engaging properly in his devotional service. So, aside from Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance to save Prahlad from the torture of Hiranyakashipu, one of the beautiful things of the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance is disclosing the consciousness of the one who he came to rescue. The kindness of the Lord to extend his protection and the love of Prahlad for the Lord and his devotees, and the compassion of Prahlad to others that are without this opportunity. We discussed a little bit earlier about Uddhava's concern, his feeling pain that persons don't properly understand Krishna. They think something else or something else or something else, and it gives them great pain. Krishna enacts pastimes in such a way people don't understand. It gives me great pain. So here's Prahlad similarly. Compassion is natural, but compassion that's properly reposed. Compassion is commonly improperly reposed, driven by false ego. So the compassion is towards false egoistic, a misconception of the other person. It's actually to the detriment of the other person. It leads to further bondage, or it robs them of that real opportunity of human form of life. So maybe you can feel spending some time tomorrow in honor of Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance, hearing Prahlad's description of how a devotee of Lord Nrisimhadev's views Lord Nrisimhadev, and how the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev is received by such a devotee as Prahlad. He directs it to Narada, he directs it to the conditioned souls. He's feeling very happy in his position. Anything? Yes. There's a description in another one of the Puranas. Yes. There's a description in another one of the Puranas that in his previous life he was a Brahmana. But it's not, that was no association with Narada. The inference here, or not an inference, it's explicitly stated. Narada accepted me. He instructed me. But just, that's it. Because Kayadu had received a benediction from Narada that the child will not be born until Hiranyakashipu returns from his austerities. So when he returned from his austerities, she went back to the palace and the child was born. So it's not like after he was born, Narada snuck in or something. That was it. Pretty unique. And that he remembers. We can't remember, you know, yesterday. Oh, yeah. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.